Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Are you tired of dents and scratches ruining the look of your car? Look no further than Porter's Body Shop in Brookhaven. Call us at 601-833-1861 or visit us online at portersbodyshopms.com.
You're listening to the Rebel Report Podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
All right, welcome back in Rebel Report Live. My name is Michael Borky. Appreciate you being here on day two of Ole Miss training camp on this first day of August, which means it is football month. We made it, finally. As we're talking right now, the Hall of Fame game is going. I actually really enjoyed what I saw. I mean, Mills was surgical on the opening possession for the Houston Texans, and it was football. It was real live American tackle football played by professionals. Most of the guys in the third and fourth quarter won't be professional football players, at least in the NFL, for much longer, but still, real live tackle American football is on your TV right now. So I'm glad that you guys are here instead of doing that. A couple of things on that note, by the way. Patrick Willis getting inducted this weekend. It's an incredibly cool honor. We talked about it last night. I mean, just a special person, a special athlete, a special football player, an outstanding ambassador for the school that you love. He is just all around just world class, and he's getting honored this weekend. Got honored in the pregame introductions. I hope I'm not going to miss his in-game interview, although I probably am talking to you guys right now, but I hope not. Even if I do, I'm sure I'll be able to see that later. And, of course, all the festivities this weekend with Patrick Willis getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. If you don't watch it all, you'll get clips all over. You'll get to see his speech and all that. So really looking forward to that. And the second thing, the kickoff. Everybody seems to hate the kickoff, and I understand why. It's weird. It's uncomfortable, kind of. And if you don't really understand the rules or if you've never seen it before, it is really, really confusing. I think it's a net positive because in the NFL, the kickoff was nothing up until now. It was a worthless play. Every kicker was so good, they kicked the ball through the back of the end zone. There was never any returns. At least there is a return. And you know, maybe they'll tweak it through the years. So, you know, it can improve from here. But there were actual kickoff returns. Like, that did happen as opposed to just booting the ball through the end zone and it being a meaningless play. I think once you get used to it, you'll end up liking it. That's just my opinion. I wasn't as bothered by it as much as some people are. It's weird, but I think it's a net positive because the play is actually it's a play again. So, anyway, we're not here to talk about the NFL, though. We are here to talk about Ole Miss training camp. And something that Lane Kiffin said yesterday to me stood out. So we're going to go through an exercise tonight. And then, of course, get to your comments. So we're talking about Ole Miss training camp on this edition of the Rebel Report. Again, my name is Michael Borky. Follow me, Twitter, YouTube, at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. But more of you are listening in podcast form. Don't forget to go ahead and subscribe to the YouTube channel as well. Double up. So subscribe to the podcast, Rebel Report, wherever you get it. Subscribe to YouTube. Just search my name, and you will find it there. Don't forget to like the video, leave a comment, and all that good stuff. And the Rebel Report is presented every single day by the Gregory Law Firm. Personal injuries, small business, and contract disputes. Look, in life, sometimes injuries happen. Sometimes bad things happen to you. We hope they don't. But in the event that it does, there is nobody better in this state than DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm for all of your, again, personal injury, but also small business and contract disputes as well. Give him a call, 662-397-9799, 662-397-9799. DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, Saltillo, Mississippi, will help you for all of your personal injury, small business, and contract disputes. Save that number. You may not need him today, but one day you will, or you might. Hopefully you never do, but when that day comes, that's the number, 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today, the Gregory Law Firm. So Lane Kiffin in his press conference yesterday, said something that has kind of stuck with me a little bit, where, as you know, in years past, he would already have a pretty good idea of who's going to be playing where. And he said this year, not so much in a lot of places, especially talked about the running back room, which I thought was such a funny answer, because a lot of the outside obsession about this Ole Miss team has been, well, how are they going to replace Quinshon? How are they going to replace Quinshon? Who's going to replace Quinshon? And Kiffin was asked about it, and he gave a two-part answer. The first part was, if you're trying to fit players into your scheme, you're doing it wrong. I'm paraphrasing what he said, but he was like, you know, we, talking about him and Charlie Weiss and the staff and all that, try to make scheme fit player and also opponent. You know, they don't pigeonhole themselves into this is how they do it and this is how you're going to do it and I need to get players to do it this way. They do what they do because of who they have and who they're playing, and that changes on an annual or a week-to-week basis. And so when he was asked about the running back position, his answer was, it was so nonchalant. It was just like, I don't know, it'll be one of them or three of them. If one emerges, fine. If all three are worthy of carries, so be it. The just completely and totally not worried at all about the running back position is Lane Kiffin. I mean clearly, don't take my word for it. Go back and watch, and you'll see what I'm talking about. The shoulder shrug, you know, it's fine. The confidence in that offense's ability to run the football, in part because it's what they've always done. The scheme is good. Very clearly it's good because they're at the tops of the SEC in rushing every year, with or without Quinshon. And I assume that they like the room that they have as well. So the scheme is good. It works. They know it works. They're very confident, and they should be that it works. And they seem to be pretty confident in what they have in the room. And there is no desperation whatsoever to find Quinshon's replacement, because nobody in that room is Quinshon, and Quinshon is not anybody in that room. So they might do things a little bit differently to heighten the ability of those guys. It's a very good answer if you guys want to go check that out. Sometimes Kiffin's really boring in those press conference settings. This one was not boring at all. And the other thing he talked about, like I mentioned before, he said there's a lot of places where he has no idea who is going to play. There's a lot of position battles. So let's go through it a little bit quickly, and then we'll get to your comments. Where do we think that they are solid? Like, you know, or they have a really, really, really good idea of who is going to be the starter there and what their rotation is going to look like. As we talk about often, wide receiver, I think they are very, very solid in who's going to play wide receiver for this team in the starting roles, the three wide receivers, Trey Harris, Jordan Watkins, Juice Wells. And then the question at wide receiver is, you know, who's going to get four or five and maybe even six receptions behind them? Who's going to be four, five, and six? Are they going to be able to rotate at receiver more? That's more of the questions about the position, as opposed to who's going to start and who's not. There's no battle there. They know exactly what they have, at least for the starters. The battle is, can anybody else, that includes Deion Smith when he's able to join the team, command opportunities to play meaningful snaps? Because nobody was really able to do that a year ago with any consistent volume. Offensive line is one where I think that at this point they have no idea who's going to start. You don't have everybody practicing anyway, even if they were, they've got time to figure that out, and I think they're in no hurry to figure that out, and they can't figure it out anyway because not everybody's practicing, at least not full speed. Tight end, obviously solid. Quarterback, obviously solid. We just addressed running back. Defensive line, I think the starters are solid. There's no real position battle there. But there's a lot of opportunity for snaps on this defense. And something that Richard and I were talking about on the radio show today, when you look at this defensive line and why I think this team is equipped to match the goals that they have, the lofty goals that everybody has for them, it's not just the starters to me. You need high-level frontline starters, but look at what they have in the defensive line room behind the starters. So Ivy Pegues, Nolan Umen, Mielen, solid. Nobody's taking their job. But behind them, the high-profile pickup that Chris Hardy would have been had Umen Mielen and Nolan not existed, and he was a late addition as well, but highly, highly productive college player, right? Xavier Harris is a physical freak. Those two guys would be starting on, like, almost every Ole Miss defense since I've moved here. I mean, those are starter quality guys. Would be like they need them to have a huge impact kind of guys on most Ole Miss defenses that I've seen over the years. And their backups in this one, Akello Stone would be a starter on a lot of Ole Miss defenses that I've seen. And to the point where you're looking at the four blue chip true freshmen that they brought in, a lot of people like, especially a couple of their prospects to play right away, but they don't need them to. And in years past, even just a pair of blue chip defensive linemen would have to play out of necessity because they wouldn't have guys that talented. What separates Ole Miss, this Ole Miss team from Ole Miss teams of the past, even the good ones, it's that right there. It's that Chris Hardy and Xavier Harris and Akello Stone are backups. Now, they'll play a lot because Pete plays a lot of them, but they're backups. Cam Franklin doesn't have to play. It certainly can, but he doesn't have to. They don't need him to in the way they would have in years past. At safety, I mean, the pickup of Key Lawrence and Yam Banks would be big, right? But that they don't. They already have established starters with Trey Washington and John Saunders, for example. There is depth there. We've talked about the depth on the offensive line. We've talked about the depth at tight end. We've talked about the depth at running back. That, to me, is why it's so easy to be confident in this team's ability to meet those goals, because there are very few spots where if they take quarterback aside, because that's different for literally everybody in college football. Even Texas, because people say that, well, Texas would be fine if Quinn Ewers got hurt. You have no idea until Arch takes meaningful snaps and produces taking those meaningful snaps. There's no way of knowing. There's no way of knowing at Ole Miss or pretty much anywhere else in college football. So take quarterback aside. Offensive line can sustain an injury or two. The defensive line can sustain an injury or two. The safeties can sustain an injury or two. Linebacker, the position battle, the snaps there is one that we need to look at, going back to the theme of the show. I mean, is it going to be Kari Coleman and Daughtry or Chris Paul Jr.? And I mean, people talk really highly of Tyler Banks, for example. That's a position battle to watch, and the snap distribution there is going to be interesting. I don't know how that's going to shake out yet, but when you look at the available depth at so many spots, the proven depth at so many spots, that is what separates this team. So position battles to watch, offensive line, linebacker, offensive line and linebacker. True position battles where if you look at them, I don't think you have necessarily established starters in the way that you do at quarterback, wide receiver, et cetera. Defensive back, it's two portal guys that are expected to start. So, you know, maybe they're expecting them to come in and earn it. But offensive line, linebacker, running back is the three position battles that I am keeping the closest eye on throughout camp and then the first few weeks of the season to figure out who emerges and becomes a more established starter there. So that's kind of what I'm watching for as this goes on. You know, there's not much to watch because the access is quite limited, and I don't think I'll have to go read the email again. That there's going to be any real scrimmage access. I'm probably wrong by that. I'll have to double check on that. But that's what I'm watching for as we go into camp and into basically what is the preseason. Those groups, offensive line, linebacker, running back, especially. So we'll get to your comments here in just a second after I tell you the podcast is brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's very likely to be one in your backyard that make you their priority every single day. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. The podcast is also brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs. Tell them I sent you, and you'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is. and they will find a solution for you on me. It's Advantage Business Systems, ABSMS.com. Has Deion showed up yet? Yes. Is not practicing yet, but yes, he has showed up. You said go back to the original XFL kickoff. I do like the XFL rules a little bit better, but I'm totally fine with how it looked. And as Joe Buck and Troy Aikman pointed out on the broadcast, NFL teams have been working really hard on trying to figure out what they're going to do. You're not going to see all of their cards either when it comes to the return game until the season begins. Did I see the Oklahoma and Georgia games won't even have general admission tickets? Apparently everything is gone. Yeah, that's not new. Everything's sold out. The only thing that's new is that you've got some the single game tickets that are available are, as I understand it, some sent back allotment from Kentucky and Mississippi State and the non-conference games. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. But I thought I remember it being announced that they sold out season tickets. And, you know, as we talked about yesterday, 13,000 student tickets have been sold as well. So I think that that's what that is that visitor allotments have been returned, because I do think that they sold out season tickets a while ago. To the point where, if I remember correctly, they talked about possibly having oversold them. But is it you or does Bentley look bigger? He does. I think he said yesterday that he has put on some weight. And not too much, though. He still looks lean. I mean, his strength is his breakaway speed and elusiveness. He's not weak or anything, but it looks like he put on good weight. Fees on a single ticket are $75. That's insanity. That is an absolute insanity. But you can just use my press credentials for a sideline pass. You have to be security. The press doesn't have sideline access during the game until like the very end. So you would have to sit up in a press box, and if you made noise, like fan noise, they would kick you out. So, Pat, I don't know if that's the direction you want to go. Is it curtain rod season yet? It's never curtain rod season because I'm never getting a curtain rod. This is as professional as this setup is going to get, guys. Oh, man. Will Lane have five wideouts for some plays? Wouldn't that be just awesome? I hope so. Just for the hell of it, they can. They have the talent to do that, for sure. I would love to see that. What I'm more curious about is the possibility of two tight end sets, because everybody's raving about what Daquan Wright brings to them. I'm more curious about how they use those kind of sets than I am them possibly going five wide. I just don't think that you're going to see that a whole lot, if they even do see it, or if they do it at all, because of how good this offense is with a tight end. I mean, Kiffin he's had good tight ends, but he's made average tight ends be incredibly dangerous and effective in that offense. So taking the tight end position off the field, I don't think is something that they want to or need to do very often. A ticket in Section J, home side by the student section, for the Oklahoma game is $260. Yeah, and for anybody that knows anybody in Ole Miss marketing, that should not be the powder blue game. Why is it so difficult? You blend at home and you stand out on the road. Do powder blue for Kentucky. Do red for Oklahoma. Doing powder blue for Oklahoma because there are so many Oklahoma fans coming to that game. They want to see the Grove. They want to go to Ole Miss. They're in the SEC for the first time. They're going to stand out, and there's going to be a lot of them. So blend them with your red and their red, and you won't notice where they are. But when you do powder blue with their red or crimson or whatever the hell, they're going to stand out. It's so simple. On the road, When you go to Auburn, you wear red. When you go to Alabama, you wear powder blue, et cetera, et cetera. When Alabama comes to your place, you wear red. When Auburn comes to your place, you wear blue. When Texas A&M comes to your place, pick your poison on that one. When Kentucky comes to your place, it's a perfect powder blue game. When South Carolina comes to your place or Georgia, you wear red. It's so easy. It is so easy, and yet they make it so difficult every year. I don't understand it. They've done a great job with in-game stuff and stadium atmosphere and everything, but that is just something that they swing and miss on. They just constantly swing and miss on that. Cheapest ticket on StubHub for Georgia is $285, and then, yeah, the fee is half that. Here, I'll do this again. I love doing this exercise because it makes me irrationally angry. Because I would love to take my four-year-old, and he'll be five possibly by the time I want to go to one of these games. I want to take him to a Saints game this year. I really, really, really want to take him to a Saints game. But I don't think I can afford it, frankly. I don't think I can because, let's see. So the Panthers – oh, the Bucs is actually the cheapest game. October 13th, Sunday, October 13th, is when the Bucs are in New Orleans. The cheapest seat is $33. It's by far the cheapest. So we'll go cheapest seat. Two seats together, it's $114. So the two tickets should cost you $66, right? But there's $20 in fees for each one plus sales tax. So for $66 in tickets, you're paying $40 in fees on top of that. Why is this okay? Anyway, good to see you, Scott. Glad you're here. I've heard the biggest concern with guys like Deion is keeping him eligible to get to the postseason. I mean, at this point, if they've gotten him into school, if they can't keep him eligible for the postseason, then Ole Miss has failed just as much as he has. I mean, my gosh. A long time ago, when I was in school, I was in a class with athletes where they had their tests done for them. The fact that Spencer Sanders ended up being academically ineligible for the Peach Bowl is absolutely nuts considering what is available to them. Now that he's in school, I wouldn't be worried about him being eligible for the playoff because they will make sure. You know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. They'll make sure. And if they don't, then they have failed dramatically. Because all the way back in 2010, guys were getting their tests done for them. So just get it done. Get it done. What's crazy is that Perkins is flying under the radar this offseason. That is exactly what happens when you get a bunch of high-profile transfers. But, yeah, you're not wrong there that he is kind of flying under the radar a little bit. I'm very curious to see how Pete uses him. I think that when people say he's lining up at defensive end, I don't think that's exactly how Pete uses them. And again, I'm not smart enough. You know, like somebody like Tyler Siski would be able to answer this much better than me. I mean, he's an actual football expert. I would like to think that I know more about football than most people. And if I ever sat down next to a guy like him, because I know he's in the media space now, and we were like to draw on a whiteboard, he might as well write in Spanish. You know, the difference between him and me in football knowledge is like speaking different languages. But I think from what I've seen from Golding so far is that, you know, the guys on the edge aren't just go get the quarterback. They're used more creatively than that. And you know, Santarian's skill set is much better suited for something like that. He's much more physically gifted than Cedric Johnson was a year ago in that spot. Give you the two tight end sets. You love that. You live for that kind of stuff. I'm telling you, man, I am so curious to see what happens when they go up three scores, especially in some of these early games. And I know they're not going to show everything that they've got until it truly matters, but how are they going to ice games, and what's that going to look like? I can't wait. Could the weight he gained be an attempt to help his injury proneness? Talking about Bentley, I assume it's all of the above. Yeah, being able to take more hits, being more physical, all of the above. You want to see a power eye? Hell yeah! Let's go back to the early 2000s. Why not? You're a disabled vet. If they kick you out of the press box, you're putting it on YouTube. Yeah, but the thing is, I would never be allowed in the press box again because you would have my credentials. So I need you to behave when you go up there pretending to be me. You've got to behave up there. Because if you get caught, I get caught. Do I think you should worry or have any concern for the players in non-contact jerseys so far at camp? And how big of an impact do I think Deion can make this year? I don't think there's reason to be worried yet until this really lingers. Now, the Washington lineman not practicing, I think, is more eyebrow-raising than Umen Mielen working his way back or Jordan Watkins being in a non-contact jersey while, you know, still doing some things. That kind of stuff is I'm far less worried about that because Princely's coming back from shoulder surgery and he's participating, so shouldn't be worried there. You know what Watkins and Pegues are capable of, especially if they're going through drills. It's fine. Having linemen that you needed to come in and start or at least compete for a starting spot not practicing in the media viewing periods anyway, you wish that wasn't the case. Now, they've played a lot of football. They did go through spring, so it's not like they're brand new to the team, but that you shouldn't be concerned about any of it. It's August 1st. But if you're going to rank them, those would be the offensive linemen would be at the top. And I think like Watkins and Pegues would be at the very bottom. How much do I think Oklahoma or Georgia could take over the stadium? Not much. I mean, they'll have a lot of people. They'll have a disproportionate amount of people. But no, because of the volume of season tickets that Ole Miss was able to sell to Ole Miss people and how many Ole Miss fans are making like the one trip a year for Oklahoma or Georgia, taking over that stadium is going to be really, really, really hard to do. Anyway. A little late tonight, but wanted to check in and see how I'm doing. I appreciate that. That's really nice. I'm doing well, man. I'm doing really well. There's a lot going on in life, but we're surviving in this house, and that's all we can really hope to do. So, thanks, man. Stop asking me election questions. I'm going to kill you. Yes, we're just under 100 days until Election Day. Are you alone and already being over it? Man, I am politically informed. I consume a lot of political media. I read a lot of politics. I do not like talking about it with people. I do not like bringing it to the sports platform. I'm not going to do it here. I'm done with you, Memphis Rebel. You know I love you and I respect you, and you've been here for a long time, and you are a P1, but I ain't talking politics on here. It's not going to happen. It ain't happening. You also cannot confirm any details, but you have some friends in the Georgia Redcoat band that have told you their band is not traveling to Ole Miss. Good. Good. The position groups to look at should be primarily trenches, running backs, and then free safeties, cornerbacks in that order. See, I'm not concerned about safety at all. With the return of Washington and Saunders and then the addition of Key Lawrence and Banks, I mean, I think they're fine. Even if Deion doesn't grasp the playbook right away and he's the guy you tell to run deep with Harris, Juice, and Watkins on the opposite side of the field and let him do his thing. I've got a lot of questions, but we'll have to see. You would love to see Ole Miss a whiteout. You're in luck. First game of the year. Sanders just took his check and ran. He didn't care about academics. That was part of the reason why he didn't have very many options after he left Oklahoma State, because he didn't care about academics. But that's just How, when you have everything handed to you, can you not make grades as a college football player? No, I'll never understand it. Twenty-two personnel could be dangerous with this offense. No kidding. No kidding. You think the powder blue is Ole Miss's answer to a traditional whiteout, but the stadium looks the best in red. I think the stadium looks the best in red when the team is wearing powder blue and it's during the day. That's a very, like, those are weird qualifiers. I know. But that LSU game was so, I mean, aesthetically, it was just beautiful. Like, the uniforms are beautiful. Crowd looked great. The beautiful, like, perfect day. Like, you had the golden hour and all that. That is visually as perfect as Ole Miss can look. I do love the powder blue out, too. I think Navy dulls the look of a stadium. I think Navy makes a stadium look smaller than it is. Red and powder blue really pop. The Navy just doesn't pop, I don't think. Another thing you're not seeing or hearing nearly enough about is this whole deal about the in-helmet communications. I feel like Lane and Dart having direct communication is going to be massive for them. I agree, and I'm curious to hear if Lane Kiffin will offer any insight on that, because when he talked about it during the spring, he called it a cheat code, remember, but wouldn't offer any more. I am curious to know. Maybe when we get the chance to hear from Golding and Charlie Weiss Jr. for the only time this year is maybe we'll get a little bit more insight on that. Like, how are you going to handle that? What's that going to look like, et cetera? Michael Trigg is listed as tight end one for Baylor at the moment. Hope it works out for him. Really hope it works out for him. Poor kid's got to get out of his own way. Hope he finally figures it out. Hey, you're sure the Olympics are distracting people from social issues and politics? Oh, I know, right? I've enjoyed watching our athletes do what they've done. And I only really watch the Olympics for the Americans anyway. But I've enjoyed them. I watched the golf early this morning, and I'll do it again early tomorrow morning as well. I've loved the gymnastics. I love it all. I love the gymnastics and the swimming, especially. I've watched our basketball and soccer games. I consume as much as I possibly can. Can't wait for track. Sam Hendricks, Ole Miss guy, will be in track doing the pole vault. So I've enjoyed it. I've really liked it. It's a shame how some things have happened to take away from the greatness of our athletes, but you know, can't avoid it, I guess. What is my biggest concern on the roster? Aside from the offensive line free space, linebacker depth, maybe, and how both corners are, both expected starting corners are transfers, although one was at Alabama and the other Alabama wanted desperately, so you should feel pretty good about those two, but offensive line's the easy and obvious answer. You're the second person in the chat, by the way, that has said Deadpool and Wolverine was really good. I need to go see that. Stadium does look the best in the day. At night, it looks really dark, especially on TV, no doubt. Think Alabama goes 10-2 or worse. Kalen DeBoer will be good at Alabama. Just first year there makes it rough for you to see them go further. Just your thoughts, though. How about Georgia's schedule, by the way? So I've finally seen people kind of come to the realization that while Georgia has the best roster in college football, this schedule it's brutal for Georgia. They open with Clemson, and say what you will about Clemson, Dabo recruits. Clemson has good players. I don't think Georgia's losing that game, but still. They're at Alabama, at Texas, and at Ole Miss. At Alabama, who has a roster comparable to theirs, at Texas, who has a roster comparable to theirs, and at Ole Miss, who has at least a first 22 that is comparable to theirs, and then some. Like, They're just going to waltz right through all of that, maybe, but I'm not so sure that they're just going to walk right through and win those games with ease. Been seeing beef directed at Juice Wells this week from South Carolina fans and players. I hope that game is flexed to the afternoon and not a night game. South Carolina will have two losses by then. I don't think it'll really matter that much. I understand that they will have a little bit of extra something or other because of that. But I mean, look, I think that South Carolina's losing to Kentucky and LSU before they play Ole Miss. So they're a 2-2 team with wins over Old Dominion and Akron in this scenario. One transfer player is not going to enhance that crowd much, I don't think, if they are, in fact, 2-2. But yeah, there's some real hostility there, a lot of hostility there. I mean, that's what happens, right? It's that they're a scorned lover. They saw their ex go be with somebody that's taller and in better shape and better looking than they are. That's the reality. Hit the like button. Yeah. Please do that. You say, hot take, the Olympics haven't been great since 2016, but you also say you haven't watched thus far. How do you know they haven't been great this year? Darton Wells will do unspeakable things to South Carolina. I think so, too. Deadpool and Wolverine was really good, especially if you grew up on the early to mid-2000s superhero films. Yeah. You were watching Josh Payton. He said that Georgia will not be playing in the SEC championship. It'll be Ole Miss and Texas, so he must think two losses. I definitely could see it. Or he sees Ole Miss with one loss, but one of those wins is over Georgia, which would give them the tiebreaker, I suppose. Georgia's had a weird offseason as well, maybe lacking some weapons on offense with Bowers and McConkey gone, and now Robert Thomas is gone. Been a weird time. Dabo Doobie Crouton, the God's NIL for him. It's the, yeah. Yeah, they do have great players, though. They really do. I mean, that Clemson roster has a lot of great players on it. Texas plays Oklahoma the week before Georgia. Georgia's goodbye before Bama, and you think they out-talent Ole Miss. Those are still difficult games, though. I mean, I just seeing them line up and just run through those games is not a guarantee. You think the Rebels this year will have the third best defense in your lifetime? Ooh, so 2014 was the number one defense in the country. I know there have been a lot of Ole Miss defenses before my time that would be up there. But they've got the personnel that rivals, if not exceeds, that of 2014. The issue, though, Curtis, is that you know, the game has changed so much, and they're on the field so much longer than they used to be. So it's harder to, you know, put up goose eggs anymore in today's college football. So as Lane said, his press conference, he's more concerned about like yards per play, not points necessarily or total yards. It's how many yards are you giving up per play? Because if you're on the field for 90 snaps and you're giving up 2.5 yards per play, then that's a great defensive performance. But anyway, I'm not using great numbers to illustrate that point. But long story short, because of the evolution of the sport, the dominant defenses of the past have a much harder time being dominant in the present, because it's changed so much. You're still hearing the Kiffin can't win big games thing in a lot of preseason talk. It's just, it is such an easy, it's a dumb and easily disproven narrative. It is, but you have to, you know, think for a second and apply, you know, proper context to his career and the jobs that he has had and where he's been and what he's done. But that kicked you and a buddy out of the parking garage this evening. Watch a bit of good on good scrimmage. Well, tell me about it. Tell me. I was about to hang it up, but tell me about it. What did you see? What did you see? I would love to hear it. That's so funny that you got kicked out of the garage, though. I mean, I miss the days where you could just walk up to practice and just kind of watch. I get why they don't do that, but that was fun as a student to just go watch football practice and not have to worry about getting kicked out. They consider the Peach Bowl irrelevant because apparently Penn State didn't want to be there. Yeah, sure. Okay. That's crap, but okay. But they've won 29 games in 3 years. Only Alabama and Georgia have won more in the SEC, and that includes Texas and Oklahoma. How? Like, are there not big games in there? Are there not big wins in there? They've hosted College Game Day and won the game in which they hosted College Game Day. That's not a big win. That's not a. It's a very dumb, easily disproven narrative. It's very dumb. What they're saying is he didn't beat Nick Saban. That's what they're saying. And because he didn't beat Nick Saban, he's getting punished for it in the narrative talking space. It's very dumb. Oh, of course, yeah. If he beats Georgia, the same people will claim in question if they're falling off, alluding to it. Yeah. Okay, here's the inside scrimmage watching information here. Bentley looks like a beast. D-lineman passed the eye test. Juice made several plays, and so did Noriel White. That's about all we saw. No Trey Harris to be seen. Yeah, I guess he was in a non-contact jersey. That's okay. Just get him to the season. Doesn't matter. If he tweaked a little something, it's fine. You know exactly what he's capable of. He is an elite-level wide receiver. He doesn't need training camp. Keep him in shape. Keep him protected. Get him to the season. But anyway, who's ready for high school football? I'm going to go to a little bit this year. I think there's some decent players in the area, too, that I'll go see. Take the little man too every once in a while. So anyway, thank you guys so much for being here. We will be back on Sunday as always, 8 o'clock. Thank you. Enjoy football. I'm going to go back to the Hall of Fame game, whatever's left of it. And I'll see you guys on Sunday. Thank you.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.